It is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is February 13, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio 1, we have Doug Newsom, as always, beautiful and grateful to have him there. And we have you guys all awaiting Mr. Netanyahu's arrival to the USA. And we are praying with the Californian people that the dump will not spill over and will create a lot of disaster. And we're going to keep on praying for peace in the world with all the madness that's going on with Iran, Syria, and the rest of North Korea came to play too. You see, we all in the mixture of change, and sometimes people are acting up and some leaders are really, really don't have a grip to what's going on. I know that the new president is doing his best, is working day and night to make America better again. I would love him to take it easier on America. I would love him to take the time to learn subject and matter. Because the responsibility and the repercussions are greater than he can foresee it from the start. You see, when you are meddling with America's business, you are meddling with the rest of the world. You are doing something, and it's reflect to the whole world through. We say that if America has a cold, the world has pneumonia. It means that your economy, your work will make us all better. But if you create a stress, it can make our life terrible. So I'm praying for Mr. Donald Trump, and I'm wishing Mr. Netanyahu all the best of luck. And I know that in the some game, we need to remember one thing, that there is a God and it's not us, of course. And we have to remember that we are the people of the book, the Bible. The Jewish people came back after 2,000 years. We want to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel and the holy city of the whole world to come. And if we love the courage of those two great men to come together and foresee a change that needs to be done in Jerusalem, we can see a different day in the horizon. Remember, we need the courage to stand up for what is right. The world cannot last if we overcome, you know, if we forget to be strong, steady, and really, really honest, truthful to our universe, like the nature we have around, like the people we have around, the like children we need to grow. We need to be truthful to ourselves and do our best to take care of business. And taking care of business was a great day for me today, because I went to a conference in Israel where they were talking about cybersecurity and all the stuff that makes our life today. And I found out that it's not that complicated, but it's incredibly risky business that we are all playing in, that we need to really make our rules clear. And talking about, you know, intellectual property, which on the net, I don't know how they can protect, really. And we're talking about a lot of incredible access to people, how you can make your identical print known, how you can protect it. And there are some methods that you can create to help yourself. But the truth of the matter is, do we have a real hub for the world to come and play in? Like I've been talking about, and I ask the people that make infrastructure, do you have a hub for all the world to come to play as far as the business go? because they're talking about security, they're talking about, you know, to everything that come. But the truth of the matter is nobody built it up yet. The United Nations, which is amazing capacity to collect all the power of the world in one place, don't have it on the net. But I'm talking in the interaction one, because, you know, when you go on the United Nations site, you go and, you know, I didn't plan to talk about it, but because I've been to that conference and the question mark is so evident, I've been thinking about, did you ever check UN.org, that's the site of the United Nations, you see Security Council, you see everything, you see the contact information to talk to the people, but did you ever try to interact with them? Did you ever try to interact with the site completely? I'm not sure that it's going to be easy for us to access it. It's not even easy to make, to get the information. It's only like archive. It's like going to a big library of information, but it's not an interactive one. And if you want to be interactive, you want to have something that talks back to you, right? You have to have a commerce department there that will be functional. You go on the site and you see a very nice site. You see the English one, you know, all the languages that they have, and then they have pictures about, you know, what about United Nations, the delegate, what we do, where we do work, and news and media, documents, observance. But this is not an interactive site. This is not a site that you go there. If let's see, what are you useful for? Why the world is investing in you to all? If it's the site for a humanitarian aid, given, it's not a problem. You have a General Assembly that unites all the member state. Then you have the Security Council that they don't give access to everybody, of course. You know, Israel never had a Security Council seat ever. Even though there is a talk now that they want one of our ex-minister, Tzipi Livni, that she used to be the foreign minister, to be a part of the United Nations, which, hey, by all means, to get an Israeli in position, this would be like a culmination of, dreams. We actually have people working in the United Nations to help. When you have all the information, interaction, and all, you know, startup nation in your capacity, you need to have a better than one seat or two seats or anything. You know, you need a committee, economic and social council. You have trusteeship of council, International Court of Justice, of course. Secretarial general. That's all. That's what they have. They have a quality education. That's, you know, good, but it's not an interactive. You have news center, you have press releases, but what does it mean? That you provide for me what you want us to feed. I need to go there and say, how do I buy in China something that you recommend or that it's supervised by the United Nations, protection kind of. Do you have anything like that? Did we ever create any trade organization through that? I don't think so. So until I find out something more about, let's see if the World Trade Organization. No, you know, I'm evolving because my plan is to give you some news of the day. But let's listen to some music because tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So let's listen to some music and I will be back after that.
Sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key.
All right, we're back. That's for America. This is for you, America. With a little help from my friends, we can all be better, guys. It's not easy to be alone. It's not easy to be in this world, and we need all the friends we can get, and Israel surely can rely or can have a good friends these days. In America, we're counting on you, and we actually blessed you, and we are so honored to have the opportunity to send Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today to the USA to visit in such incredible, Valentine's Day. It's almond to a good start, let's say. Now let's think what's going on. In the world today, we have a few powers that are trying to push, but it's not really the people, it's the management of the people that we have in question. And that's what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was saying to Iranian people. Let's listen to that.
I plan to speak soon with President Trump about how to counter the threat of the Iranian regime, which calls for Israel's destruction. But it struck me recently that I've spoken a lot about the Iranian regime and not enough about the Iranian people, or for that matter, to the Iranian people. So I hope this message reaches every Iranian, young and old, religious and secular, man and woman. I know you'd prefer to live without fear. I know you'd want to be able to speak freely, to love who you want without the fear of being tortured or hung from a crane. I know you'd like to surf the web freely and not have to see videos like this one using a virtual private network to circumvent censorship. You have a proud history. You have a rich culture. Tragically, you're shackled by a theocratic tyranny. In a free Iran, you will once again be able to flourish without limit. But today, a cruel regime is trying to keep you down. I'll never forget the images of brave young students hungry for change, gunned down in the streets of Tehran in 2009. And I'll never forget beautiful Neda Sultan gasping for her last breath on that sidewalk. This ruthless regime continues to deny you your freedom. It prevents thousands of candidates from competing in elections. It steals money from your poor to fund a mass murderer like Assad. By calling daily for Israel's destruction, the regime hopes to instill hostility between us. This is wrong. We're your friend, not your enemy. We've always distinguished between the Iranian people and the Iranian regime. The regime is cruel. The people are not. The regime is aggressive. The people are warm. I yearn for the day when Israelis and Iranians can once again visit each other freely in Tehran, in Isfahan, in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv. The fanatics must not win. Their cruelty must not conquer our compassion. Our two peoples can work together for a more peaceful and hopeful future for both of us. We must defeat terror and tyranny, and we must ensure that freedom and friendship win the day.
All right, we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. That was Benjamin Netanyahu talking to the Iranian people. And I want to say something to the Iranian people. In 2009, when there was a resistance and they didn't have any arms and they didn't have any help from anybody, I was appalled. I was appalled because the people of the world did not come to help you. And I know that it's not easy, and nobody wants to revolt, and nobody wants to have a regime that they resist. But the regime needs to come back to their senses and start a new day. You know, maybe they will wake up tomorrow morning deciding that Israel is not that big of a threat to them, because they threatening to destroy her all the time. We had an answer from the Iranian people on that, so listen to that.
It's not a surprise that Benjamin Netanyahu's speech didn't get much live airplay in Tehran. But many here certainly followed what Israel's prime minister had to say, and the vast majority didn't like it.
America is trying to reach something with Iran, agreement. But Netanyahu, Israel is trying to make it like, you know, stop doing it. They're banning us.
The nuclear negotiations and the looming deadline for a framework agreement are among the biggest topics in Iran these days. While most are cautiously optimistic, others say they don't believe a deal will come through. Are you confident that there will be an agreement?
Yes.
Why?
Because Iran insists to finish this problem. Also, the America insists to finish this problem during the president of Obama.
We made us lose hope in everything. I don't think so. I don't have belief in anything.
It remains unclear how much of its atomic capabilities Iran is willing to give up in exchange for sanctions relief. Most Iranians believe their country has a right to develop a nuclear program, especially a peaceful one. Nuclear technology is a thing of national pride for many people here, but if you talk to people, they'll tell you they badly want the sanctions to be lifted so that they can finally get direct investment into this country and have a chance for economic development. The West is worried that Iran could work to make a bomb if its uranium enrichment isn't effectively controlled. The IAEA says Tehran has not given it enough information to prove the nuclear program is solely for civilian purposes. Mohammad Marandi, a professor at Tehran University, says he believes fear of Iran's atomic ambitions are overblown.
Well, in a poll carried out in Iran a month ago, 70-some percent of Iranians believe that the nuclear program is completely peaceful. And in addition to that, the fact that the religious authorities in Iran have given fatwas against nuclear weapons adds to this argument.
But fatwas will do little to ease the skepticism in Western countries, while many Iranians hope an agreement will come together that will ease their economic pain.
We are back with that. You could hear what the people were saying before the agreement was reached. What the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was sending to the Iranian people, what the Iranian people were, you know, negating the possibility that the relationship will come back to the stern time when Israel and Iranian people were visiting each other for real. And I remember still people traveling, bringing a lot of carpets, because the Iranian carpets were, you know, famous for that. But the idea is that the Iranian plan for nuclear facility was peaceful. Would be good if you think that they are working on the civilian infrastructure, but when they call upon destruction of America and destruction of Israel, you can think that, you know, if somebody tells you 1,000 times, you know, it's going to do something, you might believe him, because you don't want to take the risk. So the Iranian needs to decide what rhetoric they're doing, they're saying, and what action they're taking, because once they launch a missile in test, and we have a reply by North Korea, which means that they are actually shaking the madness in the world, means that the world needs to take a second look and see if the plan did work. And this is action that cannot be tolerated by the West. We're talking about they're pushing in Syria, they're pushing in Lebanon, and now we have Turkey playing the part in Syria. Think about it. Turkey invaded Syria. Erdogan was saying to everybody that he wants a safe zone. Like he took the initiative to drop into another country saying, we're making a safe zone. Like, who gave Turkey the right to invade Syria? Now, the Iranian don't say a word. The Russian don't say a word. The American are too busy, because I don't know how nobody is actually clinging to the idea that Turkey is actually invading another country. And knowing what they're doing with the Kurds, we can say for a fact that it's not kosher. It's not kosher by so many levels. It's not internationally boundaries not respected. Human, you know that it's not, they are not respected, especially when Turkey just passed a law that giving Erdogan the whole charade of honorary rights to do whatever he wants. So I'm wondering that Erdogan, when he's visiting and talking right now in other country, what he was saying today, he was talking about the Palestinian. We have 30 million Kurds. Kurds has a region called after them. The Kurdistan is a region. You know, you have people, you know, the region geographically belonging to a place, they need to be recognized. And what Erdogan was talking about, the Palestinian. Palestinian that have, by all means, Jordanian passport that we just found out. You know, I just found out 2 weeks ago. I was talking. It didn't make the news, obviously, but it's okay. But it's the truth. If you have a passport, you cannot have a problem of being a refugee because you belong. And if Transjordanian was a part of the Palestinian territory once, because we all know history, and if you look at the map in 1923, you can see that Palestinian was including Jordan of today. So if you have a Palestinian issue and you gave them passport, Jordanian passport, and you took the land and created Jordan, I don't see what problem there is. You already solve it. You're just trying to take another part of the land that left to the Jewish people that was supposed to be all the territory of the Palestinian. Not the Palestinian people, because it's the name of the territory, Palestine. And we already gave it to the Jordan. How many Jordanian you need? How many Palestinian parts you need? Gaza is a part. Jordan is a part. Now you want another between Jordan and Israel? Aren't we a little overzealous with your success of sending a lie abroad for so many years? And people actually, I don't know who started that charade, but it's over. Time to say it's over. Not because Benjamin Netanyahu is going to say we don't want two-state solution. We say there is two-state solution. You divided Palestinian territory in two already. How many pieces do you want to make of the same territory? The land of Palestine that was taken from the Turks, okay? There were the Turks before, right? They were given to a mandate to the British Empire then to create a Jewish state. And then, of course, one good sheikh came along and said, what about those people there? We need to take care of them. Sure enough, they split the land. So there is your solution. The two-state solution exists. Now let's get it over with. About Jerusalem, you cannot solve that problem if you don't accept the Jewish people. But it doesn't matter. Jewish people have, you know, testimony. The testimony is the Western Wall, and we have the Bible that been, you know, in your houses all over the world. And there is a land that called, you know, the land of Israel in the Bible. And there is the land, it's the promised land, and there is a holy city called Jerusalem, a Zion. Now, when you say we don't like the Zionist idea, yes, that's what you don't want, the Jewishness to exist. And I'm really so sad that I have to repeat it constantly. But until you guys in the world don't call the Palestinian off, and the all-Muslim world to quit trying to push the God of Israel out of the world, which he, you know, we come back here after 2,000 years. It means that the God of Israel is really a mighty one, right? Or, you know, our faith is mighty one. We are true believers. We believe in God. That's why we came back after so many years. And you know what we did too? Not just the religion we revived. We revived the language of the Holy Scripture. You know, what is it to revive a language? Nobody else in the world did that. So you have a language, you have the book, you have testimony on the ground. The Western world, they excavated all the residue of the temple. Well, that was ruined, so there was nothing to say about that. You know, God already gave that building no good. It was destroyed. What can we say about that? But that testimony, the Western Wall, means that you are here for a fact, right? So if we have that and the world still resist, you know, we have the Bible. Now you cannot scrap that. In the UNESCO, you cannot scrap that. The Bible, it's like, if you scrape the Bible, you mean that you scrape billion Christian from their religion and the Jewish people from their root. Like, who are you? Who you think you are? No, UNESCO, maybe you will be vanishing before long because by being untrue to the creation and all, you have no right to be as entity. That's what happens. When you are actually denying people from their rights, you deny yourself from your right, because that's the way it works usually. Anyway, I've been talking, and I want to follow up to the next segment that I have for you to listen. Let's listen to that.
Back to Iran, you said they will do what I tell them. How do you make them do what you say?
They will know I'm not playing games. And you know what? I hate to inherit a bad deal. And I know some of my compatriots said, we won't honor the deal. That's a little tough.
They have the money.
I like to honor deals.
They have the money.
Well, no, the problem is, by the time, if I make it, by the time I get there, they will be very rich, because Obama will have given them all of these many billions of dollars, et cetera, et cetera. However, all contracts, I study contracts. I'm in golf, I say I'm a plus five at contracts, okay? I study contracts. No matter how bad this contract is, I will make this contract be enforced to such an extent that they will not be able to do it. And then I will do things that you won't believe. But listen, it is so important that they not have nuclear weapons. The problem with this deal is they will have them, and all other surrounding countries are going to be forced to get them too. You're going to have nuclear holocaust.
I don't see a scenario under which the Israelis, probably joining with the Saudis, Egyptians, Jordanians, don't take out those sites before they get them. And
well,
the United States, I see that happening.
I mean, we're in trouble, but Israel would be in very big trouble if this deal is allowed to go forward. What I hate so much about the deal, the 24 days is ridiculous. But, you know, before you get to the 24 days, there's a whole process. I don't know if you know that.
Of course.
That can take much longer than 24 days. So we start the process, we go through a whole procedure, then after weeks, we may get to the 24 days. The whole thing's ridiculous. But you know what else bothers me so much? The money bothers me. Like, I would have never given them the money. But we have four prisoners. Why didn't they say, before the negotiation starts, this should have happened 2 years ago. Did you ever see such a long negotiation?
Crazy.
You know, we're not sending a rocket to the moon. But why didn't we say, fellas, we want the prisoners?
$150 billion is the equivalent of $8 trillion USA dollars based on the size of their economy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple more things. You wrote The Art of the Deal, best-selling book. Are you learning that the art of politics is different than the art of the deal?
Well, I mean, so far I'm enjoying politics, and I guess I'm enjoying because, I mean, a poll just came in where I'm 32.
You had five 32%. Good polls post-debate.
Yeah, no, I'm doing well. But it's a long process. It's a very long process. I don't want to get overly excited, because you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. The end result is you have to win. And I don't want to win for the sake of winning. I want to make the country great again. It's my whole theme, making America great again. And the word again is a very important word.
We were
because
once
right
great.
Now we're laughed at, we're scoffed at, we don't do anything right. You see what's going on. As an example, our military, it's depleted. We send Humvees, the best in the world, 2,300. This I'm not talking about three or four. I thought they were talking about like 23 or two. We send 2,300 Humvees, the finest in the world, armor-plated everything, over to our allies.
ISIS has it.
One shot is fired. Our allies run. ISIS now has 2,300. Do you know how many that is? I thought they were wrong. I thought when I read it, I thought they maybe made it's a typographical, like 23. So, and by the way, we don't have the quality of Humvee. So now they have better machinery than we. Our guys are driving around. They don't even have protection underneath. That's why they're losing their legs and their arms.
Scary.
And everything. We need smart people. We need a great military, a strong military. You know, they all say I'll be the best on jobs. Everybody says that. You probably believe it. I will be so great on jobs. I think I'll be equally great on the military. And the other thing we have to do, we have a moral obligation, take care of our vets. And by the way, unlike Jeb Bush,
and you would
take care of our
security?
Women. We have to take care of the women with the women's 57 issue.
57 million Americans out of the labor force. You wouldn't raise the retirement age or
no,
means
wouldn't.
Test Social
These
Security.
People made a deal. What I will do is I'm going to take our money back from China, and China's going to like us. You know, if you go into this building, if you go to a certain floor, the biggest bank in the world is there by far. Like Citibank is a small, as they say,
it's a Chinese
Citibank
bank.
Is a small subsidiary, okay? If you go to a certain floor, the biggest bank in the world, from China, I say, I just renewed their lease for another 10 years. I said, do you guys want to be here? Oh, absolutely. We love you, Mr. Trump. We respect you. Here, China takes advantage of us. They make a fortune, and they don't even like us. We will make China like us, and Russia, and other places, and we'll also benefit economically.
A lot has been made over your Twitter account. If you won the presidency, would you still stay on Twitter? Would you be out there at 1 o'clock in the morning
well,
tweeting?
Well, probably a little bit less, but I'll tell you, it's pretty
You'd
amazing.
Still do it?
I do get my point across. You know,
do.
It's funny. For years, if somebody did bad stuff to me, I couldn't fight back. Now I have @RealDonaldTrump. And I can sort of tweet some bad stuff about them.
Real quick.
And if people like it, it's all over the world.
Who are the people you listen to the most as it relates to politics? Who can come into your office and say, I don't like this?
You know, I listen to your show. I listen to other shows. I see some very smart guys on the shows. I like Bolton. I like a lot of the guys that you have and that, frankly, I see on other networks. I mean, I respect them. Even if they're not necessarily
So you listen to everybody.
Oh, I listen to everybody.
Is there anyone close to you that really, that you count on the most?
Well, I have some very smart people in my organization, and my children are very smart, you know. And you know Ivanka, how smart, and she's got a great sense of
humor. I know Eric, I know Donald Jr.
I'll tell you what, Ivanka came to me the other day. It was very interesting. And, you know, with this whole thing with Megyn Kelly, and it's really, in theory, it's not a big deal, but Ivanka said, Dad, you love women. You cherish women. She said that. She used the word cherish. She said, you respect women. You have so many women working for you, probably more women executives than male executives. She said, Dad, you've got to let people know how much you adore women and how you'll take care of them. And right after she said that, Jeb Bush came out with that horrible statement where essentially he's not going to take care of women's health issues. And I said, wow, that's incredible. That's a really stupid statement to make. But Ivanka is so much into that whole issue of women's health and women. And she's my guide on that whole subject. But she understands how I feel about it.
Mr. Trump, thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
Appreciate you being with us.
Great honor.
Back, that was Donald Trump before he got elected about the Iranian deal and how he doesn't like it and which... We all agree with him. And the one point I want to make where he said about Ivanka talking about the fact that he honor women and how we like them. And I know that the left wing will use that quote that we listened to before the election, how we mistreating women. I want to recall something I just heard from his advisor, which she said, Kelly, she said that she would like every woman to be treated like she was treated by her boss. She really, really respects them. It gives her power. It gives her honor. I guess that for some reason people don't see it, but that was a really a frank, you know, witness from insider that that said that. So I have to give her the credit, and I want to believe her that it's true. And I know that with Ivanka, such a lovely daughter that he has, is an exemplary of a good women in the world. And I trust in, you know, in that part of women that do work hard, give their heart out to help, to raise family, to be a wife. And I hope and I wish them happy Valentine's Day to celebrate tomorrow, because they deserve it. They give us a good perspective of what a life of good, God bless, family should be like and look like. And what we need in the world, we need a good example of everything. And talking about a good example, I want to go back to something I started with the show, that we started talking, you know, I started talking and I evolved about the World Trade Organization, about the United Nations, how, you know, this conference today brought the idea of what we need to integrate. And while I was listening to Donald Trump, I was looking up the World Trade Organization, and I'm really happy to tell you that it's better than what I remember it was. We have the news of February 17 today, but they have a meeting of dispute settlements body. Sounds very much like the United Nations. I hope they don't repeating what, because when I want the World Trade Organization is a marketing whiz that I am, of course, I want to say that I want to see an active part of business where I can go as a businesswoman and go inside and look for what I'm looking for. So there was, you know, you can see in the news and event that they have current news, of course, and then you say you see that there is one segment that talk about forum, public forum. I said, hey, yeah, we're going there, that the public forum. But for some reason, it wasn't updated. There is no events on public forum, which this is where the people need to interact since September 2016. You see, if you're live. If your life will depend on public and the public forum is dead since 2016, you're a really deep problem with the World Trade Organization. You have an organization that's supposed to promote trade, and they have on the agenda for tomorrow disputed territory, which sounds, I'm serious, it sounds like the United Nations talking about the Palestinian issue that doesn't exist anymore. So I'm saying, guys, if the world wants to function like a functional entity that breathes. Did anybody of you guys saw the world from outside of space? Did you see that? There was a video that was, you know, on the media, a very interesting one. It shows how the world is like expand, like breathe. It's amazing that it moves and it's like breathing. Everything, every entity needs to have energy. You need to put some energy into this globalized market. You need to move people, work, stuff around so we can actually have a life. You guys cannot sit on the World Trade Organization and give me a public forum from 2016 that is dead, and then expect the world to have, you know, not dispute. Of course there are a dispute. Now you have a you know, membership, let's see, it's join, you know, accession. You have Somalia, you know, World Trade Organization. I need people that actually work. You have Sudan assuming membership, you know, negotiation. This is not news. This is like a, this is some, you need to have a committee to a very special condition country. Sudan is not a country you negotiate on a World Trade Organization level. They have special process. You cannot let, all right, let's say it from another perspective. If I was on the World Trade Organization now, I would put in the masterpiece of the world, America, Russia on the counterpart, because there are the next big market, because the evolving market, it's good deal. Then you have the European market, which needs to negotiate the Brexit right now, but they have in there in the middle of making some trade agreement. I don't see in the World Trade Organization on the front, you know, the very front, I don't even see Brexit. There is no mention of Brexit. You see, if you working with the world economy and you don't put what is really important, you are irrelevant. So this organization that is in Zurich, Switzerland, and they have a big resources. It's a lot of money that the world is spending on it. It's not, you know, membership costs money. And you have all states, you have Iraq, Iran, Ethiopia, Lebanon, Israel. It's not even in alphabetic order. The process, I don't know if they even in. But there must be, because without the Jewish people, I don't know how much stuff you negotiate, deals. You know, guys, we work hard, and we work hard every day. We work our heart out. And if you ask why we're working our heart out, it's because we are worthy people and we try to show it again and again every day. And if you look at our you know, handbook or anything, you see how much we are occupied with everything. We try to do a lot to give the world a better day. And we just need you to have an even playground, like Donald Trump says. The even playground means that we need to scrap this World Organization site. I didn't say the organization, the site. And let's build a new one, which can breathe some magic of work, business, and start doing real agreement. And the first, the page needs to be the Brexit, how we reorganize the world organization with a good trade. All the rest will come to play because everybody will play and start working. Actually, people can come and access and have an everyday login where they can find a new business in that net. But for some reason, the people that manage that are not really business people. Not from the marketing perspective. All right, let's get some music because it's still tomorrow, Valentine's Day. I hope you're ready. Let's listen to that.
There's a light sitting kind of light the glimmer's down on me.
All right, that was the Bee Gees, incredible as always, Barry Gibb and all the rest of them, fantastic. Now, let's talk about something that we need to look in the future now. Since security is changing in the world, we are using something new called the drones. The drones are used for civil and military and for rescue, search and rescue missions. Search and rescue mission, it means that you are looking and you're preventing and you're helping you save lives. Something that is really, really important, especially days like our tremendous there is a, you know, natural disasters, there is a natural condition or anything that can happen to people. But more than that, because of the vast occupation of the world security services, like the police, the military, in much more challenging tasks that they have with new immigrants and new refugees all over the world, we are actually facing with a new age where we need to use our technology to help the security service rescue and help you guys secure your places. That's why drones are the most incredible right now to use. And I'm saying that, I'm so sorry. And I'm saying that because it's a smart thing. Because in the security channels of events, the human factor, listen to this, that's what I learned today. The human factor is the weakest link to the security of today. The human factor is the weakest link. It means that when you can operate a range of automation of observation, control, data processing, and also using models that you use method of formula to analyze the situation, you can actually safeguard your community, your hospitals, your common places where everybody coming, you know, stadium and everything, in a much better way. So I want you to think about what we're doing these days. And you can check our easy drones, which are incredible because they are in between. They are not like a joke, you know, like a play toys that they sell, and they are not that expensive too. But they are actually a tool for you to build yourself a better security level. It means that the range of your property or the range of your agriculture property. Think about your land that needs to be, filled with water for your plants. And instead of the man that you need to send to check the flowers if they're good, if they have actually a disease or something, you actually send automation drones, which analyze, picture the thing, they frame it, they show the plants in their condition, and then they actually zoom and tell you if there is a problem. Now, if there is a fence that was broken, if there is a endangerment, you can have also an alert. That's what we have. We actually precede the new risk by giving it also already a solution. So for all those people that think that this new day actually created a new prospect for them to vandalize stuff, where all those people in the dark net preparing to vandalize people, we are preparing to protect and to rescue and to help. So, you know, put your mind in ease that we are all well prepared, but we need to work together. Together is the key words. It means information, database, anticipation, and help. And the good guys are more than bad guys. Just remember that. And I always say that because I have the sample from the book of Noah. It's not a book. It's a part of the Bible. That Noah was, when he wanted to build the boat for the flood, God told him, go and get nine good animals and two bad ones. It means wild ones, not bad, wild ones. It means that the ratio between wilds or dangerous one to the good ones are 9 to 2. So we are the good one, always stronger in the midst. That's something I learned from the Bible. Maybe it's, you know, it's not mathematically proven, but it's just a sample to say that there is a hope. So think about it. We're going to have a new day, a new age. We just need to get rid of the bad things. Sometimes it's not going to be very pleasant, but nothing we can do about it. You know, cleaning up, it's not the fun part. It's afterwards that we all going to enjoy. All right, guys. So wishing you happy, happy Valentine's Day. And I hope you have a great, great week. I hope that Benjamin Netanyahu and Mr. President Donald Trump will lead it off in really good, truthful, continuous relationship of friendship. Happy, you know, a really happy relationship, because as Rudy Giuliani said, the relation is back again with Israel. Thank God. So, and to you all, wherever you are, be safe in California. To my children, I love you, miss you so much. God bless you all. Happy Valentine's Day, and until the next week, bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.